Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. Here I'm joined by an interesting soul for snacks and sometimes full-blown banquets. We share conversation and confessions, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering.
Hey there, wonderfuls. We've got a funny, fascinating and fizzy episode right here with comedian and fount of interesting, clever stuff, Nabil Abdul-Rashid, who took time out of his tour, and he is on tour right now with his show The Purple Pill, to meet me for a really fit breakfast in Beckenham. First, though, as ever, a few quick bits of urgent business. Bit one, I'm touring a brand new show from the start of next year called Metal, and fittingly, the tour is going to be epic. It's going to be hard work. I'm really going to put a shift in and come as close as I possibly can to as many of your homes as is humanly, physically possible. Also, fittingly, right now, I'm working so hard to make it the funniest and best it can be. So I'd be honoured to have you come along to it. You're my favourites if you listen to this. Tickets go on sale next week at the end of October. And if you sign up to my brand spanking new mailing list, you might even get early access to them. I know. Links in the podcast notes and also on my Instagram at Jessica Fostercue. Bit two, urgent business bit two. This feels like a formal meeting. God, I feel grown up. A big thank you and shout out to my patrons. You're the lifeblood of the podcast. If you have a spare few quid a month, please look at becoming one as well, will you? Go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod. They've just revamped the website and it's looking very jazzy on there. And yeah, if you join up, I'll swap you loads of exclusive content and discount live tickets and even early and ad-free episodes and bespoke videos, all for as little as £2 a month. And you'll be helping us to fund this wonderful beast. If you've got no spare wedge, that is also fine. Just bung us a 5-star review and maybe tell someone you don't hate to start listening to the podcast. Okie dokie, thank you. Okay, let's have this actually really exciting and at times slightly close to, I'm going to use the word, edgy episode. Nabil and me met for an outstanding midweek mega breakfast at a really lovely place in Beckenham called Em's Kitchen. We had a ball and you're about to too.
Are you ready to talk about eating?
I'm always ready to talk about it.
Thank you. Thank you for doing my silly podcast. I've got a new opening question.
Okay.
It's quite soppy.
Okay, let's go.
What's a thing that you cook that when other people eat it, you know, they know that you love them?
It would be any of my fish dishes.
Really?
Because fish is so easy to get wrong.
Yeah.
So if I make fish for you, then I like it.
You've taken a risk.
Yeah, especially either my grilled fish or my Brazilian fish stew. So I make either of those things for you, you've done well.
I mean, I bet grilled fish ends up more complicated than Brazilian fish stew, but I want to know what Brazilian fish stew is. I've got no idea.
Oh, so it's actually like a descendant of...
Thank you. Lovely, thank you.
Yeah, strong black coffee. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a descendant of Nigerian fish stew.
Okay.
Because, as we know, the Portuguese borrowed some labor.
That's nice to hear they intended to give it back. Didn't
they kindly took some human resources, helped themselves confidently.
Thank you.
And a lot of them brought with them the knowledge of food, dance, music, all that. You know, all the stuff that makes Brazil, Brazil.
Yeah.
Make Brazil cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're welcome, Brasileiro. Anyway, so, yeah, and they brought their knowledge of cooking. So, like, if you go to, like, the north of Brazil, Bahia, a lot of the food resembles ours.
Yeah.
And one of the
things... God, I know. That's so interesting.
Yeah, man. I mean, to be honest, it's across the Caribbean as well. And America. Anywhere that, you know, those of us who, slaves were taken, the food is distinctly different. That's why soul food and Cajun food and all this stuff is different, you know. So, the fish stew, you need onions, tomato, garlic, chilies... a white, strong white fish of your choice. And palm oil, which I know to hipsters is a swear word, but not all palm oil is gained from making orangutans homeless. Yeah. You know, because I had to use it on flipping MasterChef. And they're like, palm oil, you monster. And I'm like, fuck off. Like,
no, it's all about context. It's like, I wish people understood it's why are you putting palm oil in Biscoff? That's the issue.
Yeah, and they'll eat the Biscoff while...
Just palm oil is...
It's like, I was backstage.
It's a bit like MSG. It's just having this light bit, but don't. Yeah.
They need something to be angry about. Yeah. You know? And it's like, I remember being backstage with this one comic, and he was complaining about Canada Goose while flicking through his iPhone. He was talking about inhumane it is to a Canada Goose. I said, but you don't mind using the iPhone. He's like, I said, you do realize that coltan is mined by like little kids in Congo.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck them. They can't fly, right? And he was like, hipster meltdown, you know. Palm oil.
that one ingredient had like a whole bit of material around it. I love it.
palm oil is key, and coconut milk. And you kind of
does it matter which sort of chilies?
No, because I mean, not everyone can handle hot food.
Yeah.
So, you know, some people even bypass chili altogether.
Personally, I feel so sorry for them.
Yeah. See, me, I'm a typical Nigerian. So, even for breakfast, chili finds its way into my plate. Like, in our omelets.
I'm not a typical Nigerian, but I also...
I heard differently. You know, you have all the qualifications to be a Nigerian.
Well, I really like a spicy breakfast. That's pretty much
And you have a long name.
And I have a long name. No one can say.
The only thing missing now is you answer questions with a question. Because a true Nigerian always answers questions with a question. You know, like, Mom, are you okay? Why are you asking? You know, they never get a straight answer.
Curious. It's just curiosity. Yeah. Can't help it. Your question inspired another question. I feel like, I knew that this one would be like... across rolling waves of education for me, and I've already learned so much.
Making me blush.
But so I've got really bare basics, but I'd love to know how your faith, because you're properly practicing.
Depending on who you ask.
Well, how does your faith affect how you eat?
Yeah, I mean, you know. Our faith, like some people might say, oh my God, that's so restrictive, but our faith has guidance and everything.
Yeah, but isn't it up to like, you know, different people have different
interpretations.
Yeah, totally. And also, some people might go, well, I'm going to follow this bit, not that bit. I'm going to not drink, but I might occasionally eat pork, or I'm going to, like, it depends on where you are in the world.
You find anything.
Yeah.
You know, I met a vegan that ate meat every day, but said he was vegan. I'm like, you know that, I can see you. Like, are you...
Bizarre. You know. So what for your faith for you does it mean in terms of eating?
I mean,
Also, I want to know about all the really exciting celebratory eating and stuff.
Oh, sure, yeah. So, like, from, first of all, bare basics.
Oh, my God. This is massive and glorious. Thank you. Whoa, come on.
Thank you very much.
Oh, man.
Thank you.
So, yeah, so, oh, it's gorgeous.
6 feet. Wow. Also, hats off to the size of your salts and peppers. I've only just realised how massive they are, and that is joyful. Thank you. Thank you.
If these were TV channels, this would be like Channel 4. That's Dave. Like, that's fucking dying.
Yeah, you've got Dave.
I love full English. Halam, full English, just in case the haram police are listening. So, yeah. So bare basics. How my faith affects what I eat is literally what I can and can't eat.
Right.
You know, so...
loud pepper crackles.
Obviously, I don't consume alcoholic... Thank you.
Okay.
Alcoholic beverages.
Yeah.
No pork on my fork.
No pork on my fork. Shame about your knife.
No swine, no wine.
That makes it sound like you're just having to get a sausage or, like, balancing it on a knife.
Yeah,
and then you're allowed
your elbows.
It. Yeah.
So, we're not allowed to eat certain things unless there's absolutely nothing else to eat and our life is in danger.
Right.
Then
okay.
You're allowed. But otherwise... We're meant to steer clear of certain things. So
shellfish?
No. Shellfish depend on the school of thought.
Okay.
So I follow the school of thought known as the Maliki school of thought.
Right.
Which means anything from sea or from water, halal, anything.
Okay, great.
So shellfish, octopus, squid, whatever, we can have that.
Yes!
But other than that, mainly grazing animals.
Right, so, okay.
Beef, lamb, chicken,
mm-hmm.
No rodents.
Right. What's that?
I mean, you know, no disrespect to people in East London, but you know. No.
I like the caveat that your life's in danger. I think that is the only time I'd want a rodent either. Come the apocalypse, we'll have a conversation. But until then, I hear you. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Then also, like, the practice around our eating, it has to be meat. Like, if you're eating a meat product, it has to have been killed a certain way,
mm-hmm.
and also reared a certain way, similar to the kosher of our cousins,
mm-hmm.
the Jews.
Yeah.
Very similar dietary requirements. Yeah. And yet, even when it comes to our cooking, you know, Islamically, if I cook and you smell the food,
yeah.
and I make you hungry, I'm sinful if I don't offer you some. I'm meant to share.
Oh, man. What a lovely ethos. That's so nice.
You
God, barbecue season's a nightmare. Do you literally have to offer something to everyone who walks past? Like, oh, God. Okay, come in. Oh, it's a really busy house all summer.
There's a lot of heavy emphasis on, like, thinking about those that don't have.
Yeah, that's very lovely.
The wayfarer, that sort of thing.
Okay.
So every year we donate food. I've run supported housing organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Food kitchens, things like that, because our faith teaches us to feed the needy.
Yeah,
it's something that my parents made me do for when I was young as well.
Mm-hmm.
So not directly how I eat.
Yeah.
Influences. Where I could be better is how much I eat, because really Islamically, you're only supposed to fill 2/3 of your stomach.
Are you?
Yeah.
I'd really struggle with that. Also, it's really hard to quantify that. It's so hard to quantify that. I just had a week in America for work, so I've got a much bigger stomach now, so I think I'm allowed a bit more.
Oh.
No, I hear you. Okay,
if
that's
you're really
so
strict,
interesting.
You're supposed to just eat enough mm-hmm. that you have strength
mm-hmm.
to go about your day.
Yeah.
But not enough to slow you down.
Right.
Obviously, I fast every year.
Yeah.
And we're actually advised to fast twice a week.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah, we don't have to, but it's advised. But we have to do Ramadan.
Okay.
Unless, of course, you've got a condition that stops you.
Yeah. Or under 12, is that right?
Yeah. If you're kid. Under 12 or, you know, the infirm.
Yeah.
The unwell.
Yeah. And does the dates of that change each year?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then at the end, do you get a really exciting feast?
Yes, at the end, you have to celebrate. You have to
come on.
Do what you can
mm-hmm.
to mark that day.
Amazing.
But also, the need you have to be involved to... You have to give for a month. You felt what the poor man feels.
Mm-hmm.
the level of hunger that you feel during Ramadan as a Westerner, the only person that feels as hungry as you is the homeless person.
Yeah.
And the refugee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the poor person. So for a whole month, you've been in their shoes. Hopefully, you feel more compassion towards them now because you've experienced life for a month.
Yeah.
As they do. Except that you actually had food to eat
when the
sun went up.
Oh, man, amazing. What an amazing experience to put yourself through every year.
Yeah, I love
it. And to know it's coming. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm. A lot of people get shocked that I can do it without complaining, but I'm like, I mean, to be fair.
What makes you realize how lucky it is that you're doing one out of choice, one once a year.
How many people are so poor that they break their fast with intention?
Right, right. So,
I'm still hungry, there's nothing to eat, but if I could, I would have broken my fast.
Yeah,
that still
yeah.
counts.
Right. Yeah.
So, it's puts things into perspective, you know?
Definitely. Oh, amazing. Oh, I find it also fascinating. Can you tell me the sorts of things that you would have to eat as part of the celebration when the fasting's over?
Well, our household is quite multicultural.
Okay.
My wife's Pakistani and I'm Nigerian.
That's a delicious combination.
Yeah, so, like, you know, on her end, there'll be the pakoras and samosas and curries and biryani and all that kind of stuff. And then obviously, I'm West African Nigerian, so our cuisine, jollof rice.
Yeah.
You know, stews.
Oh, I'm here meats, for this fusion.
Plantain.
Are your kids learning to cook all of this?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. They appreciate everything as well. It can be annoying because they have such a varied palate.
Yeah.
Between them, but you know, it's good because they can travel anywhere.
Yeah. That is really cool.
My daughter at 3 would request squid. You know.
I love it. Very cool.
And their spice tolerance is top tier.
Yeah. I tried to do that by so my son's dad is not it's got no spice tolerance at all. So I tried to make sure that was offset by eating Scotch bonnets when I was pregnant. And it sort of paid off. Getting there. He likes strong flavours. He likes olives from being a tiny baby, stuff like that.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah, I think people underestimate a kid's palate. Like,
they
you assume you can only like that stuff once you're old and your taste buds are all dead.
I tell people, like, I'm a gamer, right? Judge me if you will.
Mm.
But like, I always tell people, a child is just an adult with low XP points. So you can build.
Yeah.
They'll do what you teach them.
Yeah.
But yeah, my daughters are trying to encourage them having a healthy attitude towards food. Because, as we know, for girls, it's very difficult.
A lot of pressures.
Your body image, things like that. And things that we don't talk about. Body shapes in my house.
That's cool.
My wife power lifts.
Oh, I love it. Also, your family is so badass.
Try it.
It's house full of like kick ass women. And your kids are like into. Is it jiu-jitsu? Yeah. Come on. Really good
at my older daughter does.
Mm-hmm.
Brazilian jiu-jitsu, Muay Thai, freestyle wrestling, and judo. And
very cool.
Essentially MMA plus judo.
Yeah.
My younger daughter does all the above except judo for now. Because she's not old enough to join the judo group that
right,
the other one is in. But by the time she turns 7, our hope is her experience in wrestling and jiu-jitsu will make judo an easy...
easy transition, an easy skill.
But aside from a young... before they were born, my kids would do much less, full stop. I even named my first daughter after a warrior from Islamic tradition. And on her room, next to her, you know, we don't have a Barbie or whatever, next to her name, it's a sword. I think that mentality something my child naturally is very soft and gentle but I thought I don't want her to not be soft and gentle and not still be tough but still be a nice person.
You can be all of those things.
You can be all of those things. You don't have to be a bad girl to be able to deal with idiots. And you know, so little things in the way we raise them, from telling them how to say no, which is a word that a lot of women are not taught.
Mm-hmm.
As I've seen in my own family, where people pressure women to do stuff for family.
Yeah.
So from an early age, if you walk into my house, I'm not telling my daughter, go sit on uncle's lap or go hug. Because that turns to, go see the CEO at his house.
Yeah.
So from early, they have autonomy over their bodies.
Love it.
I encourage them to eat as much as they like, when they like.
Yes!
So if she wakes up, you know, it's annoying, but if she turns around at like 9 o'clock and says she wants to eat, we're feeding her. But then the amount of training that she's doing...
She might well be hungry at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, she trains basically every day after school, sometimes twice a day. So like, and she has to go up against kids 3-4 years older than her sometimes.
I think it's amazing. I think there's even something else in that, like... that thing about like toughness and softness coming together, I think in a way, especially for young girls, for young women, you can have the confidence to be vulnerable and soft if you know you're strong. You don't need to show it off. It's the same thing, I think, as that, like, people that need to tell you they're funny, you should have already laughed. Like, if you know you're strong, then you've got the... not. It's not big-headedness. It's, like, genuine surety and confidence to be soft and vulnerable, because you know you can hold your own, you know you're going to be all right. It's really, it's so cool.
And I think we're the first era of humanity that hasn't understood the importance of this dichotomy. Because if you look in every ancient culture, there was a marriage of toughness and wisdom.
Yeah.
So Homer, Sophocles, Plato, these guys were all at some point in the army, had military skill. Sun Tzu, Miyamoto Musashi, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Khalid ibn Walid, Joan of Arc. It's a marriage of spirituality and also the ability to be tough if you need it to be. Leonardo da Vinci, people don't know this, but he was incredibly strong. He could bend iron bars.
Really?
Lift heavy weights. He spent all his time working out when he wasn't doing art.
Yeah, yeah.
Shaolin monks, same thing. They meditated, but they did other stuff too.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, my daughters are learning their faith, they're learning the academic stuff. But I thought it's very important that they know that it's still accessible. Like, someone came to my house and asked, don't your girls do any girly stuff? I said, like, what? And the girl was like, I said, yeah, what's girly?
Yeah. What does what, that mean?
What activity
mean?
Is good?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I was like, does your son do any boy stuff?
Yeah.
Does the son need to do anything?
Yeah.
You know?
It's mad that it still sounds as progressive as it does to hear a dad saying that, that, like, you can actually, like, tap into the strength and power in your body as a woman, like, to be brought up with that as something that you don't have to discover in your 30s once you've got confident enough to give it a try. Like, it's joyful to hear. Have you ever had a time where you ate the same thing every day?
Yes. I have had a time, but I had the same thing every day. When my wife was pregnant.
Because she was craving the same thing every day. Oh, this is... What did you have?
West African-style peanut soup.
Oh, nice. Yum. She just wanted that every day.
I had to make that every single day.
Oh, mate. For 9 long months.
And
twice.
That, she would have, like, weird things like pizza... and spinach. Or she'd want these particular chips. And they had to be salted.
Yeah.
And vinegared up. And
yeah. Fish and chip shop chips.
11 o'clock.
Yeah.
They use real chips, the fat ones.
Which
my wife is very particular about.
They are amazing.
At 11 o'clock in the freezing cold. You know, standing outside this shop with a bunch of drunk people.
Oh, God.
To get her chips.
Good boy.
So, that was an interesting period. Like, peanut soup almost every day. I mean, I love it, but fucking hell.
Not anymore. Yeah.
I don't think I've made it since.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know? High protein, superfood, but I'm not eating it ever again.
It is one of the most delicious things, that soup. But yeah, you can ruin anything.
Yeah.
If you have to have it every single day for any bunch of time.
I'll take you one lemon every day. I would still eat every day.
Yeah.
Growing up in Nigeria.
Yeah.
From the north. Shout out to Kaduna. Anyway, I'm from northern Nigeria. And my people have a specific style of barbecue.
Okay.
That the rest of Africa has tried to rip off but doesn't do properly.
Okay.
Especially West Africa, called suya. And it's like different forms of it. One version, get steak. I think the equivalent is ribeye, but as thinly as possible. And the marinade is spices, dried onion, dried ginger, dried garlic, peanut, and beans.
Ooh.
And it's just grilled lightly, then chopped into a newspaper and mixed with onions and tomato. And we'd have fresh yogurt with that.
Oh, yeah.
And we ate it with these rice cakes. These rice cakes that were basically blended fermented rice with yogurt and fried, and they look like crumpets called masa. I would have brought you some.
That sounds incredible.
And every day after basketball, after like 2-3 hours of basketball over the summer, we would all go and get suya with yogurt and the little rice cakes.
Oh, I love yogurt. I love savory yogurt.
Hot Nigerian sun. So the yogurt was like ice cold when you got it from the shop. But by the time we went out to sit down, it had already melted. And yeah, that was heavenly for me.
Amazing. I still taste it. In there, yeah.
I miss those days, man.
And the bits of the peanuts and beans bit, that's a surprise. And the yogurt bit comes as a surprise. Just bringing in that cool sour on top of all those like toasty, roasty. I can really imagine that. And is the rice cake like a roasty, toasty flavour of rice as well? Is it like, or is that more like...
The outside is, because it's fried, but the inside is... Can't explain it.
Soft and more bready, like a crumpet.
Imagine in between a crumpet and sticky Thai rice.
Mmm.
Well, with a bit of a sweetness to it and a sourness too.
Fucking, come on.
Yeah.
Sounds really great.
You know what? Someone that does it, or something close to it.
Yeah.
One day, let's have it.
Yeah. Yes! Okay, it's a date.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, lovely ones, it's just me quickly popping in to show off some of the best responses you've given me to my listener questions. And it turns out, me asking you lot what the weirdest thing you've ever used in order to eat something with was, is the question that just keeps giving me the most glorious answers. You've used some really weird stuff to eat, you lot. We'll start with Abby Shrugs on Instagram, who says, cereal from a Ziploc bag, not dry with my hands, like a civilised person, no. I had my oat milk in another Ziploc bag and just put the cereal into the milk, then kind of poured it into my mouth from one corner and most of the Ziploc bit closed. I think it was around 4 a.m. and it was the start of our honeymoon. I was sitting in an airport and there's possibly a bleary-eyed photo of me pouring it into my gob. So, I mean, Abby Shrugs, that I love. I love every second of that story. And I won't lie, the honeymoon bit threw me. Stunning work there. Absolutely. That's your sexy holiday, that is. That's the sexiest holiday of your life. And that's how you started it. Respect! Happy shrugs for that. Helen Roberts on Twitter, or whatever the fuck it's called now, she says, arrived at hotel too late to get dinner anywhere except Tesco Express. God, it's a sad start, isn't it, to this story, Helen? Right. Oh, it gets worse. Brackets. Which had run out of disposable cutlery. Assumed hotel room would have teaspoon. Dun, dun, dun. Ended up eating a goo pot with a coffee stirrer. Classy. I think Helen's classy. I'd have tongued it. Fuck, I love those pots. And you get a free ramekin. I hope, even though Helen was away from home, that she kept the ramekin. Also, chocolate caramel, Helen, or lemon cheesecake. God, really great work. What patience Helen has. Next, we have a response to this question from Musselbra Boy on ex-Twitter, ex-boyfriend. They say, I ate a salad with the case of a disposable contact lens, as I didn't have a spoon in my hotel room. Oh, I love this, because that lens case is so small, though, and salad is so big and made of solids. It would have been so much more efficient just to fist it in with your paws, my friend, surely. Talking of which, Catheron70 on Instagram says, I have more than once eaten ice cream straight from the tub with my hands while walking home from the store. They say, I stopped after I actually got frostbite on one of my fingers. I've also eaten yogurt with a pen, the foil top lid thingy, and again, my fingers. Oh, frostbite! Oh, we've peaked there. Fuck me, what a treat. That's peak answer. Best answer so far. Frostbite of the fingers. Do you know how cold you have to get? Do you know how much, do you know how long she'd have to have spent with her hand in that ice cream to actually get frostbite? This is the best we've had so far. Thank you. More questions coming all the time. I'm currently hoarding up all the things you lot have ever eaten for a dare. What have you, listener who's listening now, what have you ever eaten for a dare? Want me to maybe read it out or play it on the podcast? Tell us about it via WhatsApp message or voice note to 07462855271, and make sure you're following at the Hoovering Pod on socials, as new questions are coming all the time. Let's get back into this episode.
Tell me about the time you ate something even though you had no idea what it was. Have you ever done that?
When I was a kid, I ate crocodile.
Ooh.
Which is actually halal. So,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, I had no clue what it was.
Good luck rearing and then killing in a halal way a crocodile. But yeah, I hear you.
Yeah,
was it? Yeah. I think it's, I mean, they say this about every food that most people haven't, in the Western world, haven't tried, but is it like chicken?
Yeah. Get me, but
right, okay.
Yeah, and you know the irony of it is, so I come from a place called Kaduna in Nigeria. Now, in my language, Kada means crocodile.
Okay.
So Kaduna means loads of them.
Right.
Thousands of them.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So we, I come from the land of the crocodiles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And apparently, our ancestors colonized the area and pushed the crocs into the river Kaduna.
Right.
So there's a river, it's named after. And there was a Portuguese.
Oh, I got a little scared shiver. That's involuntary.
Oh, wait till you hear the next thing.
I don't want to get scoffed up by a crocodile. That'd be one of my least favourite ones. Have you? Shut up.
At this very restaurant. So,
oh, God.
There's a place called the Portuguese, I think, Brazilian restaurant. Because you have a lot of Brazilians in Nigeria now.
Right.
Called the Jacaranda.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Portuguese, jacaré means crocodile. And one of their delicacies was indeed
crocodile.
Yeah. And I got given the number and told me what it was. And I was like, oh, that's nice. And they were like, yeah, that was his friend.
No wonder he chased you.
Yeah, I mean, I had it coming. I climbed into the enclosure because as a kid, I was, stupid. Very stupid. Yeah. I can't even begin to make up reasons why that was a good idea, because it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you what, that motherfucker was fast.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I saw him and I was like, oh, he's smiling. You know, he's smiling. He's fine. He's harmless. And I climbed over the fence and like, they wait. Like, yeah, you could probably think about it. You can hear what he's thinking to himself. Come closer, push your hole. Closer. And he just went for it. Like,
yeah, yeah.
The only thing is, they run in a straight line. So if you kind of just run
Yeah, I suppose they're so long, they're a bit like a deadly sausage dog.
Yes.
Like you can't take corners well.
Yeah.
So they don't corner well.
I didn't even know that. It just so happens that I ran to an angle so he kind of was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And he just missed.
Thank God. Well,
yeah.
Wouldn't we having this conversation now, would we, if you'd been scuffed up by a crocodile as an urchin? I'm glad you got away with that one. Were you ever... You say you were an intelligent child, but were you ever, like, a fussy kid? Did you ever get a choice to be a fussy kid? Was there ever a food you didn't like as a kid that you like now?
So I had a period in my life where I only ate pasta.
Really?
Yeah.
You're full of surprises.
And I never finished my food, believe it or not.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in case anyone listening to this doesn't understand why that might be hard to believe, there's a lot of me. I'm a large man.
It's big, strong.
I'm
big
a lot man. Of man. Yeah. I'm a grande. A lot of coffee. So, you know, I had a period where I never finished my food.
Mm.
It's drive my mom nuts. She'd get really upset.
Because,
like, I was really chubby as a baby, and then I lost it all.
Right, right.
I wouldn't eat. And then... all I would eat was macaroni. It had to be macaroni.
Yum.
And the typical red sauce that every Nigerian has in their house. If you're Nigerian, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's one red sauce that we could eat with like multiple things.
Right.
It goes with rice. It goes with pasta. It goes with bread.
Yeah.
It goes with plantain. It goes with yam, whatever.
Yeah. Right?
So I would eat that macaroni and only that.
Okay.
For years, and it would drive my mom insane.
Yeah.
And then occasionally, like traditional Nigerian food, I could have like okra, okra soup. But most of the time, all I wanted was macaroni. And then I got measles.
Ooh.
Yeah, that wasn't fun. And it was so bad, it was even on my tongue, so it messed up my taste buds. All I could eat was ice cream. And I really shriveled up, like, talking Egyptian mummy.
Yeah.
You know, Geldof was getting ready to sing for me. Like, it was real bad, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I was suffering. I looked like I was from Birmingham, you know? It was real bad. So... You know, Nigerian parents are so sadistic as well, because all the food that I normally like eating, that's what the fuckers then will start eating in front of me. But all they did was just make me feel worse.
Oh.
And, you know, I survived that. I then got injected with what I was told was a super powerful vitamin B.
Right.
And after that, I don't think I've stopped eating.
Great.
I turned into, like, you know, there's this story in Norse mythology where Thor and Loki went to Jotunheim, and they were at a Jotnar party, and they were challenged to these party games. One was for Thor to wrestle an old woman who he almost beat, but she threw him. Then another was for him to drink from a big horn of mead, and he drank for hours only to just bring it down an inch. And the last thing was for Loki to have an eating competition with this skinny person. And they both ate on different sides of a long trough. And they both reached the end at the same. But the difference is the other guy also ate the trough itself. And at the end of the party, they were told, the reason you lost was because the old woman you wrestled was actually old age. And nobody wins that battle. And the mead you drank was actually the sea. You couldn't drink all of it. And the person that beat you in the eating competition was fire. Because fire consumes everything.
Yeah.
From that day, when I got given the vitamin B, I became fire. And yes, I know that was long-winded, but that's how my mind works.
I love it.
ADHD, motherfucker!
That's extraordinary. What? God, you know so many cool things. I didn't know that Norse mythology thing.
Being a nerdy kid does that to you.
I love it, but also I love the idea of being fire. I mean, it sounds pretty cool to have ended up as those things. I think I'd rather be that than old age.
Being fire is amazing. Do you and your brother get kicked out of a Chinese buffet?
Yeah. Yes. I once was on holiday with friends. We all love eating big time, and we were ordering. It was in Greece. In Greek culture, like, they love to feed, like, big, you know, have more, have more, have more. But we were in a restaurant in Greece where that is the culture. We hadn't finished ordering, but because we'd ordered so much, the man walked off. I followed him and said, we had more, we did have more to order, and he sort of pretended he couldn't understand me. Asshole. You got chucked out of a buffet?
Yeah, my older brother was still a bodybuilder at the time.
Oh, God.
And he was in the bulking phase.
Oh, God.
So, think about me and then put me on gear for 10 years.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like, he was...
He's not doing it now.
No, he's not bodybuilding now. He's still a solid guy, but nowhere near the sheer... If he walked into this room, everybody would...
Have a think. Hello.
I think.
Hello.
The men of my tribe, we have a presence about us.
Yeah.
But at the time, it was too much. Like, he was so big that even guys that were bigger than him wouldn't fight him because they're like, it's just a waste of time.
Yeah.
Well, why would I? So we were in this place and he just stacks all the chicken he could on his plate. And like, my older brother grew up in Scotland because our family is weird.
Right.
So it's like, getting him on his worth.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. How do you do? And so this guy sings fucking Nigerian family, and one of them sounds like fucking fat bastard from Austin Powers. And he's like him.
Amazing.
And the guy came and said, you can have the takeaway, okay? Go. Oh. Please, have you had enough?
Oh, no.
I've got 15 minutes left to get me money's worth. And they gave us like a Tupperware.
Oh, my God. You're making your own Norse mythology.
He kicked us out. The brother was so upset.
Was he?
Bunch of bastards.
Because you've emptied the kitchen. It's like the tiger that came to tea. But for real... They're like, we're worried he's going to start eating the walls.
Oh, man.
Joyful. You ever want any food?
Okay, this is going to be long-winded.
I'm up for it.
I mean,
I love the warning.
Not necessarily a prize, but...
Okay.
Okay, so first, let me preface this by showing you something.
Okay.
We can describe it to the listeners. So it's my last grid post on Instagram. That's me and the Emir of Zaza.
Oh, my God.
So he's part of the Zaria Sultanate, right? The traditional Islamic rulers of northern Nigeria. Because we weren't a country. We were all different.
Right.
Now,
regions.
This Sultanate was so respected that even the Ottoman did not interfere. And he's passed away now. His son's taken over.
Right.
But him and my grandfather were friends. And there was a coup in Nigeria, and my grandfather was going to be executed. Because my grandfather then was the second ever High Commissioner of England to Nigeria. Wow. High Commissioner of Nigeria to England. And they were taking out all the former colonialists, even though my granddad was not pro-West, but they were going to execute him. But no traditional rulers were going to be touched. So that guy... because my grandfather was so kind to him when they were growing up, he interceded and said that they were related, so by killing him, they're killing royal blood.
Wow.
So my grandfather's life was spared. So up until, you know, shortly after that picture was taken, whenever I went to Nigeria, whenever it was Eid, we have a special celebration, the Durbar, where they show the last, his ancestor, like, rode through England, Nigeria and ousted corrupt rulers and replaced them. So there's a reenactment of that legendary ride.
Yeah.
And the royal family sits and the horsemen stop just inches away from the royal family and the royal family doesn't move. And that's like our thing, which I think is way cooler than the Jubilee celebration.
Yeah. But... I like the idea that we could do... Like and, a really English version of it where someone just drives a Land Rover just, really hard at the king and he has to not flinch.
A narrow trot.
Yeah.
And so I'm gonna, I think I even have a picture of what I'm going to show you. So off the back of that relationship with our grandfather, every year my mum because it was my maternal grandfather. My mum would go to, we would go and greet the king. And we would get to skip the queue ahead of all these ministers, army officials and whatnot. So this is me, my wife, my mom, we skip the queue. And they would give us a, for Eid, a ram. Because, you know, part of celebration for Eid al-Adha, to commemorate the story of, you know, Abraham and, you know, the biblical story of the ram or lamb. You do the slaughter yourself.
Right.
Every year he would give us one to do the ritual slaughter with.
Yeah.
And he gave us one, and I named him Rambro.
God.
He tried to escape three times.
Right.
Amazing. And challenged me to a fight, because they do this thing when they stamp on the floor, and then they do that with their head.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was there. I partook in, because I think you should meet me if you can't kill an animal.
Yep.
Which I know some vegans will still be horrified by, but sue me.
Also, some vegans would agree with that. My partner's vegetarian, and she thoroughly was like...
Vegetarian.
But she would be like, if she could only envisage eating meat if she'd killed it.
Does she smile?
Yes.
And she's not a proper vegetarian, so...
She's already not listening to this because she's also Scottish, and she will have issues with that accent.
Too bad. You know, when we took Rambro home,
yeah,
this is me cooking Rambro.
Oh, wow.
Outdoors.
Wow.
I made sure that his sacrifice wasn't in vain.
Yeah.
And that he was seasoned properly.
Nice. Lovely.
And that's him over a plate of jollof rice.
Oh, my God. It's...
But yeah, oh yeah, and you know, Nigerian spices.
Oh, incredible, look at that.
And this is like one of the yogurt drinks that I was talking about. So yogurt matched with millet and sour cream.
Nice.
Called Furada Nono for anyone listening.
Furada Nono. Oh, this is incredible.
That was a prize. But
that is an amazing prize. What a great answer.
Yeah, sorry, everything is long with me, man.
No, I like it. Quick fire questions. Oh, I've got a horrible one. Would you rather drink the tears of a child or the water from a freshly flushed toilet?
Tears of a child.
Easy. Ever eaten something you found in a tree?
A fruit.
Oh, well done. Ever eaten something you found in a car?
Yes.
A Snickers.
Yeah, I just made that up.
Yeah,
on a way to a gig, and the car had treats. It was one of those things where they give you to the gig.
Oh, nice. So, and there's like some...
This is quite easy, man.
It wasn't ever going to be a quiz.
Well, I want
you to have the answers.
Some morally questionable...
Oh, we'll get to that.
Oh, God.
No other option. Would you eat a person? No.
No.
Really? You'd rather starve?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I mean, there's no harm.
What if I'd killed them and cooked it, and there were the only two people left, and they were an absolute weapon?
I think there's no turning back from cannibalism.
Right.
I think anything else you could stop, but once you've eaten a person...
Oh, yes. God, you know what? It's been ages since I thought about that. What, the trauma of it, then you would become... So ruined, probably life, not worth living.
Yeah, you know, isn't there like a disease associated with that? Like,
no idea. All my understanding of it has come entirely from fictional films that have given me nightmares, as opposed to any science or actual reading about it.
So I watched a program about, you know, animals,
I'm gonna get nightmares.
I'm not gonna go into detail.
We'll leave that there. I got scared.
Why did you have someone in mind?
Now it's time for the big end question.
Scar from The Lion King and the hunter from Bambi have a baby, and it's the most evilest fucker in the land. It starts a fresh new apocalypse, starting with baby lion cubs and baby deers. Dealings? It kills all them first. What an asshole. Luckily, it's agreed to have never happened, but only if you, and it does have to be you, Nabil, gargle the theme tune to A Touch of Frost on a loop for the entire time it takes you to American Flatfoot Dance from here in Beckenham all the way to the Grand Canyon, where it was most likely invented. It sounds impossible, but you do it. You're a hero. You go down in history as the man who saved us all from a really terrible apocalypse. Your award is the adulation of all people for all time. got on the history as a god, basically. But your reward in the moment, and bearing in mind you've just danced from here to America with a busy mouth from the gargling and no one could give you any snacks, is the feast of your dreams. This is the opposite of a last meal, because you're the happiest and the hungriest it is possible to ever imagine being. I want to know what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. I love how seriously you're taking this from me off. I want to know what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink in that fantasy situation. I don't care about the consequences of anything you eat. I couldn't give a fuck about nutrition, any of that. This is a fantasy.
I want to fly in the best suya guy from Nigeria.
Yes.
And then fly in a whole Wagyu cow and have him start with that. Then while he's doing that, I want someone to go to Indonesia and bring me the best street food chef. And I want him to cook with the fresh vegetables that the Monsanto brothers use in their dinner room, because, you know, they eat organic stuff, not the shit that they give the rest of the world. Then I want fresh buffalo milk.
Whoa.
Used to make me a smoothie from organic soursop, passion fruit, rambutan. I also want to be served halal Brazilian barbecue as well, right?
Yeah.
And I want egusi soup, and it's a Nigerian dish, and pounded yam cooked for me by the presidential chef of Nigeria.
Amazing.
And served to me by Steve Bennett. And Alfie Brown. While they're both being flogged simultaneously. And then I'll give them reviews.
Hoovering Podcast. What a naughty ending. Gloriously, it won't mean anything at all to people outside of comedy, but to absolutely anyone inside of comedy, quite a salty choice of ending there by Nabil. Hoo-wee, bit of fun. If you've got no idea who he's on about there, I'm sure he'd happily explain. He's similarly bold on Instagram. He is at manlikenabz, M-A-N-L-I-K-E-N-A-B-Z on the socials, and get out and see him touring his show, The Purple Pill. It's on tour right now for the next few months. Go, go, go. Details of where to get tickets are on his website, actually, nabilabdulrashid.com/events. Or as ever, there's a link in the podcast notes. My 2024 brand new tour show, Metal, also goes on sale this week, or next week, if you're listening to this as soon as it comes out. Keep your everything peeled, please, and snap up tickets fast. I'm doing a whopper of a tour and hopefully coming to near you. Oh, I do hope you lot can all come.
Follow us on social media at The Hoovering Pod. I'm on at Jessica Fostercue. Send us voice notes, pictures, WhatsApps to 07462 855 271. Email us, thehooveringpod@gmail.com. I'll be storing all your beautiful offerings up and discussing them in future episodes. Keep an eye on our social media for any specific questions and topics that we'll be asking you to contact us about. Links to everything interesting mentioned today are, as ever, in the podcast notes. Hoovering is presented and created by me, Jessica Fostercue. The music is by Jake Yap, and it was produced by Laura Grimshaw. Until in 2 weeks, happy hoovering.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.